Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hey, welcome, Moto America fans. This is Paul Carruthers, and I'm the semi-host, co-host of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I'm also joined today by Sean Bice, as I am every week, and this is Moto America's weekly podcast. Sean, I don't know about you, but I'm still buzzing a bit from the racing this weekend, especially in the Superbike class. It was just amazing. It's, you know, I actually had to write a story for an ad trade thing that we do, and it gave me a chance to reflect on it. But man, it's, you know, we had four guys racing there for the win in race two, and I think there'll be more than that. You know, when some guys get healthier, some guys have better outings. You know, Cam Peterson comes to mind. He obviously had a bike problem, or I think he would have ran with those guys as well. So yeah, I'm really pumped. Saturday's race, obviously we had a new winner with Cameron Beaubier, who's, you know, won more than anybody, or at least active racers, but it was good to see him come back. I was even surprised. I mean, I know how good Cameron is, but I really didn't expect that. Did that catch you by surprise?
Oh, yeah, completely by surprise. And, you know, I don't mean that to doubt Cameron Beaubier in any way, but, you know, new bike, new team. I mean, I wrote a story about the fact that it's kind of weird for him with that, but he was pretty quiet during the off season. We didn't hear a lot from him. I made a point of not even getting in touch with him because, you know, the team hadn't announced yet. And so I kind of felt like, well, let's wait and see. You know, it'd be nice to see some competition out there and a good rivalry starting right off. And I just didn't think it would happen. And for him to win that first race the way he did, when he passed Jake, well, he was behind Jake for a while and then he caught up and he passed him. And I was like, oh man, this is really going to happen. So, you know, then the next race on Sunday was just as good. So it's just going to be a huge battle this year, I think. And certainly, you know, he's going to acclimate better to the bike. The team's going to get better with the electronics and everything. So, I mean, there's just so many areas where that's just going to look, you know, that's just going to get better and better. And you're right. I mean, the other guys too, Cam Peterson had a little bit of a tough time. You know, Matthew Skultz had some issues with his bike and, you know, PJ had a crash. We'll see what happens with Tony, you know, getting up there too. But, you know, Richie could be a factor. I mean, there's a lot of areas where these guys, you know, could come up and make it a race. But for sure, those two that we were hoping for looked good. And, you know, Jake is still Jake Gagne. I mean, he was going for it for sure. I'm sure he's pretty excited this year to have a little bit more, not, I don't mean more competition, but a closer fight for everything. And he, you know, he thinks a lot of Cameron anyway, so it's going to be a good battle. It's what a season we're going to have. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's good to see, like, you know, Jake Gagne actually excited to be battling with somebody. And obviously Cam's a good friend of his that they've known each other for a long time. But when, you know, in that first race, when Jake kind of got out front there and put a couple of seconds on everybody, you're kind of like, okay, this is pretty much what we had last year. And then we could watch as Cameron started to chip away at it. And then when he passed him, honestly, that never happened last year because the races that Petrucci won, Jake got out front and crashed or had some issues with the motorcycle. But they never had that head-to-head battle that we always wanted to see. So it's pretty cool now that we've got that. And I, you know, as surprised I was with Cameron's performance, and we really shouldn't be because, you know, I don't think the world got to really see how good he is.
Right.
But, you know, we know. But he was, as much as a surprise he was to me, Josh Herron's performance was actually more of a surprise because I honestly thought that he would struggle a little bit adapting to the bike with a little testing that they did. He basically spent one day on the new bike and a couple of days on the old bike. But I mean, it was a pleasant surprise to see him, you know, racing at the front on that bike. And obviously, if him and Cameron can do that in the first two races, it bodes well for the rest of the season because they're only going to get better. So it's, yeah, I'm excited. All the classes were good. I think, you know, I just think it was a great weekend. It was a huge crowd. And yeah, I'm still, like I said, I'm still a little buzzing about the whole thing because it was really cool.
Yeah, I agree with you on the thing with Josh Herring. In fact, right after that first race with the Cameron won, I said, wow. I said to Josh Hayes, I just didn't think that was going to happen like that so quickly. I said, that was impressive. And Hayes even said, he said, I as much as I was impressed with Cameron, he said, I was even more impressed with Josh Herring. So it's the same thing. I mean, he obviously he's a former champion and he's on a great bike and everything, but you know, it just felt like he was going to have to acclimate a little, get his feet back underneath him in terms of being on that VIA 4R. And we didn't really hear a lot about what kind of testing they did. I know you had seen that he was training pretty hard, but boy, to get two podiums for him is great. And again, you know, I think when I was doing mentioning the guys that were up there, I forgot to mention Josh at the beginning of this podcast. But gosh, you know, for sure, he's going to be a factor to be on the podium in both those races. And that bike's really good. It does well at certain tracks. So yeah, shout out to him for sure.
Yeah. And he commented in our little walk and elevator ride over to the press conference after the race, you know, he said how, you know, good he felt throughout the whole race. And he also, you know, told us how fat he was last year. So it's good when a guy puts in some extra work and sees the results from the work, because that obviously is what keeps them working, you know? So,
yeah, I
think we're set up for a pretty good deal here. We got to wait a couple of weeks until we get to Barber. But in the meantime, we're actually going to have a Mission Mini Cup by Motul race. And that's going to be May 5 and 6 at Carolina Motorsports Park, which is in South Carolina. Yep. So that's going to be the first time that we've had a Mini Cup race that's not in conjunction with a Moto America race. The second round of their championship will be at Barber with us, you know, which is May 19th and 20th. So we'll have a full program there. We'll also have the kids over there on the Mini Cup track. But I thought it would be a great idea to introduce Corey Texter to our Moto America fans. They may be familiar with him already. They may not. But he's coming on board as the series manager for the class, which we've never really had before. I mean, we've kind of just made do with what we've had, and we've split staffs over there, and it's kind of worked out because they're not totally on track when everybody else is, so we can spare some people to run over there. But it's going to be nice to have somebody in place, and that somebody is Corey Texter. For those of you who don't know, he's a two-time AMA Production Twins flat track champion. I always want to say dirt track. It's like I grew up, it was always dirt track, and then they changed it to flat track, and it's hard for me to get that in my brain. But Corey comes from a racing family. His father, Randy, sister. It's just they've got a long history in the sport. And what's also cool, and I think what helped Corey probably more than anything move into the position that he's in, is he also runs Corey Texter Productions, which is a company that produces flat track events that I think, you know, are probably going to be somewhat similar to Mini Cup in that there's a lot of youth racing involved. Also, I think what's going to help him is that he has a son who races, and I believe I know his name's Cruz, and I believe he's 4 or 5, but we can find that out when Corey comes on. But I think it gives you instant credibility with parents, racing parents, especially when you have a young kid yourself who also races. So I think that's going to help him a bunch as far as he can obviously relate to what they're doing there. But Corey, welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I am I'm an active listener. I tune in to quite a few of the podcasts. I really like the overseas guests and just guests I don't hear from much. I come on the podcast and just tune in. So active listener and just stoked to be on for the first time. Thank you.
Now, did I have any information wrong in my long-winded intro?
No. It's yeah, I mean, I don't know about the credibility thing yet, but we're working on it. But yeah, I'm excited. Cruz is actually 5 years old, so he's it happens fast, this whole growing up thing. But yeah, no, in general, I'm you nailed it. So I'm excited.
So that all gets started here, and it's probably coming up pretty quick for you. That's kind of how it was that with us with the first one. It's like it doesn't seem like it's ever going to get here, and then before you know it, it's on in your lap. But do you How do you feel going into that first one? I mean, obviously you've done this before, like I mentioned with producing motorcycle races, but you've never dealt with anything quite like this. Is it just a matter of falling back on what you know and then adjusting to what you need as you go forward?
Yeah, it's kind of funny you mentioned that. Like, I've always been one to kind of rely heavily on my instincts, and I grew up in the sport. My dad was actually a road racer for a very long time. He's a U.S. twin sports champion, and I had a very, very humble road racing career myself. I did a few races. I think it was 2013 in the Harley class, but I actually grew up the last decade or so going to the New Jersey Mini GP races. I've done quite a few of those events. I've gotten to see, you know, riders like Brandon Posh and Masiato and Gus Rodeo kind of grow up in front of my eyes. I mean, I remember Gus Rodeo like riding his first ever time. Like, I kind of grew up with these kids at the New Jersey races and things like that. But holy cow, man, I didn't know what I signed up for until I started getting all the Ovalle emails and the parents asking the questions. And, you know, I've been really trying to learn as quick as I can. I was fortunate enough to get called in last year to do race control at VIR. And that was a job I took very, very serious. I did a lot of homework and just tried to prepare the best I can. I just want to earn the credibility in the paddock. Like, it's no secret I'm a dirt guy, and I try to stay in my lane the best I can, but I've been, you know, really trying to put the work in, understand every aspect of the series. This past weekend at Road Atlanta, I was shadowing as many jobs and people as I can, and just trying to be prepared. I think dealing with the parents and that whole dynamic is something that I'm more confident in. But yeah, going into this first one, obviously, you know, it's been a lot of work. It's something that's very new to me, but generally speaking, I feel pretty optimistic. I mean, you can ask me Monday after the weekend, but no, I think we're in a good spot. And it's, you know, my experience running these big amateur dirt track events, I think, is going to really help me in this role as we get ready for the opener.
Corey, let's talk about just in terms of, you know, you are a parent, you have a child that races and is starting to, and comparing it, like, I'll give you an example. My child kind of grew up quicker than I thought he was going to. He's now 28 years old, and I had a period where I had gotten him a PW80 and he was riding around the yard, and, you know, I ride a lot. And so I thought maybe he was going to do that. He didn't have hardly any interest in it at all. So I never pushed him into it. And we only had one child. And I always thought I was going to have a kid that was going to maybe be involved in motorsports in some way. And it didn't happen. And that's okay with me. I mean, he's, you know, he's got his own talents and skills. And I see it in other areas. I mean, you know, Rex Rainey was big in baseball when he was younger. You never know how it's going to go. And, you know, I talked to Josh Hayes about this quite a bit too, with his kids, you know, whether they're going to do it. And he said, he's not going to push him into it. They're just going to, you know, do what they want to do. And how does that work for when you see this in racing, especially with Mini Cup? We touch on it a little bit in Junior Cup. Sometimes it's like, you know, the families are very involved. Most of the time it seems like it's because the child rider is very motivated to do it, and the parents want to do everything they can to support them. But sometimes you talk about dealing with parents, you kind of wonder, is the kid really into it, or is it more the father or mother who maybe used to race a little bit themselves and want to see that in their own child? I mean, how does that dynamic work, especially from the point of view of Mini Cup?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. Yeah, I'm honestly, as a parent myself, I'm trying to navigate that as well with my son Cruz. I mean, he's got a lot of talent for a 5-year-old kid, but at the same time, like you mentioned, Sean, I mean, it's like, how bad does he want to do this, or is he just doing it because that's all he knows? And for Cruz, like, he grew up at the racetrack. He grew up, you know, he's been riding, you know, a rider since he was 9-10 months old, since he could walk. And I think it's just like, he's just numb to what he has around him. And, but I don't know if the same can be said for these Mini Cup kids. I've noticed every discipline in racing and motorcycle racing, it's a lot different. Like, the parents in like supercross, motocross, they are very cutthroat. I mean, we've lined up against motocross parents, and the intensity is overwhelming. It's like, man, like, how hard they push these kids and the training schedules. And it's no wonder a lot of these top moto guys retire in their 20s. They're just so burnt out. So I'm trying to navigate that myself as a parent. As far as the Ovalle parents go, I see a lot of passion. I know every parent wants their kid to grow up and be the next Nicky Hayden or the next, you know, Ben Spies or what have you, or, you know, Josh Hayes, whoever. But I think the biggest thing is just making it fun for the kids. Just making sure they go to the track and they like to ride and they want to be there, and racing is fun for them. You know, it's one of them things where you want the kid to be smiling and enjoying the actual riding the motorcycle. And I think that can get carried away, especially with like some of these, like in road racing, these kids, especially overseas, they're trained. I mean, they're trained to go when they're at a young age, these series overseas. And that, I think that's why a lot of these overseas riders, they're so prepared when they get to these championships, they're ready. Where, you know, I think we're still working on that here in the US. And I think Mini Cup is just a really cool transition into Junior Cup, into Twins Cup, and up through the ranks. So yeah, I don't have a great answer there. I kind of rambled on there, but yeah, I mean, I think the intensity gets a little much sometimes, and it's just, you got to make sure the kids want to do it for sure. I mean, you burn them out, you know, they'll want to do something else when they're 9, 10 years old, and it is what it is. So.
Yeah, I guess it's got to take the pathway that it takes, and you just got to, you know, look at it from there. And, you know, you're right. I mean, you definitely see it for sure in Supercross. And I wonder about it because now we are looking at starting these guys younger, which is certainly the pathway that Wayne Rainey wants with, you know, bringing the next world champion up to start them young, like they do in other parts of the world. One of the things I wanted to ask you about regarding this year, which is a pretty big difference, is it's been Ovalle GPO and GP2 bikes that we've had, and we're still going to use those. But there's actually another kind of a wrinkle or an area of this Mini Cup I wanted you to talk about, which is they're not actually just Ovalle branded motorcycles. Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing talking with Chuck as we were in the call, we're trying to lay out this series. You know, I wanted to make some changes right away just to try and bring the kids in, bring more kids in and make it affordable. I mean, the Ovalle is a really cool little bike, but you know, it's more for like the serious kids. I think they can get up there in price compared to like some of these dirt bikes. I mean, to get these kids involved in road racing, and if the only class available is the Ovalle, it's asking a lot for the, like, I wouldn't say the hobbyist, but somebody that they might not, you know, grow up to be the next Nicky Hayden. They just want to get out there and be part of it. I thought it'd be cool to add these stock classes, like stock 50, stock 110, stock 125. You can go to the dealership, buy the bike, put tires on it basically, and you could come race the Mini Cup. So it's something New Jersey Mini GP has done. Sandy Hook Speedway, which is a track near me, Robert Miller does that. Michael Correa in Florida, they do it with South Florida Mini GP. And yeah, I'm just trying to give the kids options, make it more cost efficient. It was really cool. I reached out to Tom Halverson at Yamaha, and they came on board with Yamaha Contingency, which is a first for Mini Cup in those classes. So I'm hoping we have some good entry numbers in those three classes. But really, it's just a really cool, it's a cost-efficient way to get into Mini Cup. And then as they progress through those classes, and, you know, once they get some time, they can move up to the Ovalle and be competitive and run that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a case of, like you mentioned, not all dads can afford to just go buy an Ovalle, but also there's the fact that there's some kids that just probably aren't ready to ride one. You know, it's a good idea for these kids to be able to do what they've, and some of these kids might have those bikes already, right? And they can just make them road race ready with tires.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, brand new, the bikes, I would say they're relatively affordable, but you can go out and buy. I mean, the good thing about the stock one, the TTR 125 or the CRF or the TTR 50s, they haven't really changed much. I mean, over the years, just plastics and minor things. They're relatively been the same for, it seems like 50 years, but I don't know the exact dates. But no, they've been the same for a long time. So you can go buy a used bike for $800,000 and put tires on it and come race. So that's, I'm really excited about that aspect of our program. We're really pushing those stock classes and just trying to get, like, I mean, with my flat track background, and you know, I have a lot of buddies that race pro moto, and I've done different parts of the industry over the years. I'm really trying to get some of these flat track kids to run these stock classes. It's so much easier for them to just, you know, throw tires on their flat track bike and come do it. You don't really need to do too much more to these stock classes. And it also, the stock frame, it gives them, it's just like an easier transition, I think, for like a moto kid or a flat track kid to come out and give it a go. So that's kind of what I'm really excited about, is kind of trying to bring these kids from flat track and moto over to the pavement.
Now, looking forward to the first race at Carolina Motorsports Park, I haven't been there. It's one of the places that you're going to that we haven't been to, obviously. What is that, a go-kart track? Is it something that's going to be put together in a parking lot? I mean, what kind of situation are you looking at for that first round?
Yeah, and honestly, I haven't been to Carolina Motorsports Park yet either. So us going there, when I get there, it'll be the first time I've been there, but I've done a lot of research on the facility. I've talked to a lot of riders who have been there. I actually talked to Tyler Scott just over the weekend at Road Atlanta as I was leaving, and I asked him if he's ever been there, and he's like, yeah, you know, I don't love the big track, but I really like the kart track. So I'm like, all right, well, that's cool, because that's, you know, that's where we'll be at. But most of these tracks, as a lot of the fans know, they have kart tracks on the same grounds as the big track. So yeah, it's a kart track there. I've heard a lot of really good things. They had like a test day or a practice, I think last weekend, where I heard a lot of the Mini Cup kids were there. Most of them actually were there checking it out. And I've heard all good feedback about this racetrack. So I've never been there. I looked it up on the map, and it is, I've never been in that part of South Carolina. So it'll be a new experience for me, heading over there and just putting together our team to do this. You know, as you mentioned, it's our first ever event that isn't in conjunction with the big bike. So there's a lot of things. It's going to be a learning process. You know, I'm just going to try and use our instincts the best I can. Nicole Cox, she's actually going to come to the first one and help me out. And we're going to try and navigate it as best we can, but it's definitely a new thing. And I'm actually really anxious to see, you know, on the big, when we're in conjunction with the big bikes, a lot of the attention, rightfully so, gets put on the big bike classes, and Mini Cup is just kind of an afterthought. Well, that weekend, May 5th and 6th, there's nothing else Moto America going on. So everybody, Moto America fans, they can tune into the socials and they can tune in and actually, you know, follow everything going on with Mini Cup. So I think that's really cool.
Well, I originally thought you were just going to show up there by yourself, and I'm kind of glad to hear that Nicole's going with you. And is there help that you rely on from like a local organization, or is it literally just going to be whoever you can get to go?
No, I mean, a lot of the workers you'll recognize from the big bike stuff. I mean, Igor is coming to do race control, and Nicole, and a lot of really familiar faces. I relied heavily. I worked with Nicole and Chuck on hiring our staff, and we'll make adjustments if need be, but I'm really excited with the staff that's coming. And then I'm also bringing one or two of my own guys that help me, my race director with my flat track events, Ryan Connolly, a kid I grew up with racing. He helps me run my flat track events. I mean, Winter Throwdown, my biggest flat track event, we have 800 entries over the course of 2 days. It's a really, really big operation. Yeah, it's bigger. If you haven't been to that event, it's insane. It's gotten so big. And so I'm bringing a little bit of my own guys, a little bit of, you know, the staff we had from last year. Like I said, Nicole will be there, Jason and Timing and Scoring for the first one. And yeah, we have really good help for, like you mentioned, I think starting off the podcast, it was kind of, you know, they just managed with the staff they had. And I think it's a testament to how much Wayne and Chuck and, you know, Richie, everybody, they want to grow this Mini Cup series, bringing me on, you know, to do it. And it's going to be fun. Like it's a weird transition for me this year. I'm not racing, and I'm there was a dirt track this weekend, and it's cool, Paul. I still say dirt track too, but it was a dirt track this weekend in Texas, and I'm at the pavement races, man. So it's a different deal for me, but I absolutely love being in the paddock. I mean, it is such a refreshing thing for me to be around motorcycles and just, the vibe at these Moto America races, and everybody, all the workers and the riders, it's something. I mean, everybody was like, "Hey, how was your weekend?" I was like, "Man, I love it. Like, it is. It's been really, really fun for me." So.
So this next first opening round of this year, you know, a lot of times I don't know if I will, but I normally see all the entry lists for all of our classes and go through them and make sure everything's set to go. Last year we had Kensei Matsudaira, who won the championship in the 190 class. And then Nathan Gaucher won both classes, 160 and 110. And they both went over to Europe and raced in that. I don't think Matsudaira is racing this year in Mini Cup. I think he's racing in Europe, but I believe Nathan Gaucher is going to be around. Do you know, have you met any of the teams or riders yet, Corey? And do you know some of those guys from last year? I assume we'll be back, Mac McCluggage and some of those people.
Yeah, so I do recognize some of those names. I've helped some of those kids over the years and their parents with like creating resumes and things like that. Gaucher, I do know he is on the entry list. Okay. I did see the entry list. I think I saw it this morning, actually. I mean, there's a lot of people that are still signing up, so right. I expect our entry list to grow. But McCullough, actually, I do know him and his dad really well. They do some flat track events. He's a really, really good young rider, but I think he's racing in Spain some of these events. So I don't know if he'll do the full schedule, but man, there's like Betancourt, Gaucher. There's some really, really fast young kids who were involved last year. And yeah, there's definitely, I get a lot of emails, actually, a lot of questions, and I don't recognize most of the names, which is cool because I'll get to meet the parents. And I'm that part of it. I'm excited for. I know, like I said, I'm a mini dad myself, so I know how hype and passion these parents have. So that part of it will be cool. I mean, most of the emails I've gotten have been pretty mild. There's been a few spicy ones, but I think, you know, as we get through it, I think I'm hoping just to earn, like I said, earn the credibility in the paddock and just, you know, promoting races and being in that position. It's really hard to stay calm and have good temperament for that job. And it's actually something I feel like I've learned and I've adapted really well in that transition the last couple of years. I mean, I think like 10 years ago, I was way, way spicier with how I handle things. And I'm actually really like proud of where we've come and how I've come along with that part of the job. Like, I think it's really important. I've mentioned it in interviews. You don't want to act like you're doing these parents or riders a favor by promoting these races. Like, you really want to appreciate the riders, the families, the teams. I mean, they spend a lot of money. They take off work. You know, they're making big sacrifices to be involved in our series. And I think that's something that a lot of promoters lose sight of. They want to make it seem like they're doing the riders a favor. And that's something that I've tried to kind of adapt and just let the riders know and the teams, man, we really appreciate you guys coming out and just make it a fun experience for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think we kind of share that throughout, you know, especially in the classes that are, you know, junior cup entry level, but mini cup too. It is a privilege to, I mean, we wouldn't have racing if it wasn't for these families and these riders who are motivated to do it and want to be there and stuff. And it's mini cup. I've noticed there's sometimes where you'll see some riders that'll race at certain rounds, but maybe not race at all of them or something. And sometimes by benefit of being at every round, you know, it helps them with winning a championship, but it's not all about that early on. Anyway, some of them it's getting their feet wet. And now that we've got this, stock class too, it's great. And also the stock class has, I think it has a higher or an older upper level to the championship, or not the championship, but the age group. So you can actually have some people who are sort of adult that can get involved in it as well, Corey. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, we've capped. So going through these classes, and, you know, I did it. We briefly talked about having like a Grom class or whatever. And I really, you know, that would have been easy for us to do just to increase our entries. And I really didn't want to go that direction. I wanted to keep it youth-based. I want the kids to have their own form of racing. But with that being said, we go up to age 17 in that stock 125 class. So yeah, I mean, we moved the age up a little bit, but really focusing on the youth. We moved the, I think last year to run the smallest Ovalle. I think it was age 6 or 7. And now on the stock 50, you can be 5 years old and run that series. And it's something that I was talking with Ken Salon from the AMA. It was something that they were like, oh, you can be 5. I don't know if they were stoked on it, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you can start racing AMA flat track events when you're 4. So I thought 5 was a good age for that stock 50 class. But yeah, it's something we're all working through. I mean, it's a lot different this year in Mini Cup as well, because I think last year I was told that the first day they had practice and qualifying, and that was it. Kind of like Moto America does on the Fridays. They you know, just P1 and Q1. But they're double headers every single Mini Cup. There's 6 rounds, all double headers. And they'll practice, qualify, and have 2 races each day. So if you sign up in stock 110 for that event, you'll do 4 races. So every weekend they come to, they'll have 4 races to compete. So we doubled the amount of races as well.
Okay, here's the $1 million question. Are we going to see Cruz becoming a bit of a road racer now, or is he continuing the path that he's chosen already?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing day to day. I mean, some days it's funny, like that would be awesome. And he really likes watching the road races. We know Brandon Posh real well. I kind of grew up with Posh and Cruz. He's like, I want to learn to drag my knee. That's, you know, that's cool. And so we're going to probably, I think I got a CRF 50 this year, and we're going to put him on it and see how he likes it. But I also don't want to rush him into it. Like I feel like you want to be patient. You can send the kids out, but I want to make sure that he's safe, and, you know, I don't want him to develop bad habits. I mean, I road raced and my speed was okay, but it was hideous. Like I did not know what I was doing. I had no form. So I want to take him to some schools, New Jersey Mini GP, Nathan Granoff and you know, Ryan Fleming, those guys, they do a really cool program, a school that I'd like to get him in before I send him out, you know, against these kids who have been, because it's the age group in that class is 5 to 9. And there's quite a big difference, obviously, in a 5-year-old to a 9-year-old. Yeah. But that's the plan. I'm not going to keep it off the table. I'd like him to maybe we'll look at Pittsburgh and New Jersey later in the year. But yeah, Alpine Stars, they sent me some road racing gloves, and I do have a leather suit for him with knee sliders. So yeah, that's the plan. It would be cool because I wouldn't have to wash bikes as much. I could just like unload them and get them ready. So I mean, I like it for sure if we can do it.
It's definitely cleaner. Let's talk a little bit about you personally. Obviously, you retired at the end of last year, and I think you retired. Yeah, I don't know. You can give me the reasons, but now you've got your production company, you've got the Moto America gig, you've got your son. It's like you got plenty to do. Do you miss the racing part?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I felt like I was getting better every year on the bike as a racer. I mean, every year I was racing, my results, my consistency, and I was just getting better. Which, you know, I'm 35, so it was kind of weird how it worked out, but I just think I started just figuring out how to win races. And it's something like I do a lot of coaching with a lot of riders, and you don't have to have the outright speed, because I definitely don't have the talent like some of these young riders have, but I learned how to win races. And for me, like I won my last ever race at Volusia. So it was tough. Racing's obviously, it's a dangerous sport, and flat track, we've had some really tough years and July last year. So I made the decision prior to the season. It was like January, and I almost did it the season prior, but I was making good money racing Production Twins. So I did another year, and the rules package in flat track's really weird right now with production bikes and the Indian motorcycle, and that landscape, it's just kind of unpredictable. And it was kind of getting scary for me as like racing as my profession, not knowing what that would all look like in the next few years. So to hold myself accountable, because I feel like I could race for another 10 years. To hold myself accountable, I just made that decision where, you know, and they were talking like they were going to combine the classes and they weren't going to combine them. And none of that really mattered to me. I just wanted to hold myself accountable. And there's just other things I want to do in life. I mean, racing's racing's awesome, but there's just other things. I don't think I wouldn't, for me to be successful in racing was a bonus. I mean, I was just a kid who loved racing, but I didn't necessarily have the talent to do it. So the fact that I got to do some things that I didn't think I'd be able to, for my own goals, I'm super, super happy with that. But no, I've been riding a lot. Like, I trained all winter with Trent Lowe and Cody Kopp and Max Whale and obviously Shane M. Breyer. Like, I'm on the bike a few times a week. My speed's really good. I mean, the boys, they were trying to talk me into doing Daytona before the season started. I had my buddies, they're all bad influences. They're calling me, I'll get the bike ready. Like, let's do it. Trying to get me to do it. So sitting out those first couple races was probably the hardest. And just knowing like where my speed at, it's definitely tough, but no, I'm okay with where I'm at right now. I'm really focused on growing this mini cup thing and the other projects I'm involved with, and just spending more time with my family, my wife, and not having to load up and live the dream in a van week to week. It's been nice, but I'm almost busier now than I was when I was racing. So that part, it's not definitely not as much fun, but yeah, I mean, we lost last year at Weedsport, Ryan Barnes. He was like a really, really close friend of mine. He passed away, and just getting through the season was tough. And I took my helmet off that last race at Volusia, and it was like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. So I'm okay where I'm at right now. I still get to ride a dirt bike and have fun and be at the races and not have the stress of, you know, coming home safe. You know, it's just, it's a tough sport, but I'm cool with it. Cool with it right now. I guess you could check in with me there in a few months, but so far so good.
Yeah. And it helps that you have a plan B and it still involves motorcycle racing.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. A lot of riders, they don't have plan B or plan, you know, they don't have anything. I think a lot of, I've said it before, I think a lot of riders would probably step away sooner if they had other options. I mean, a lot of them just, it's tough to see some of these riders just hang on and lose it more and more every year because they don't have anything else in place. So yeah, that's something I try to help these kids as well, is set up opportunities, stuff to do when they're done racing, because it's really cool to keep people involved in the sport. Like Roger Haight, like Roger Lee, and people that, you know, step away and they're still involved. It's really cool to keep them in the sport. So.
All right. Sean, do you have anything else for Corey?
No, I think I'm good. You know, Corey, you'd mentioned about doing things after the sport, and we were impressed by Benjamin Smith, who's a Pennsylvania rider as well, and raced a little bit growing up at New Jersey. And we were impressed with him. He just got his degree at Penn State, or is about to. And, you know, he's this past weekend, he kind of had his foray into superbike and everything. But he's an example of a rider that we think, you know, he's got a future in other things. And I'm not saying that every kid's got to go to college, but for any athlete really in any sport, I mean, you got a long life, you know, knock on wood, after racing or after any kind of sport that you have. So it's always good to get your life planned out. And, that's certainly good advice to pass on to anybody that's involved in our racing as well.
Yeah, and I think it actually helps with the racing too, honestly. I mean, when you're solely focused on racing and winning, it can be mentally draining. Where when I went back to college and I started, you know, I started focusing on other things, it got my mind off the grind of racing. And if you're just racing and you don't have anything else going for you and you have a bad weekend, you feel like you're failing at life because you have nothing else going for you. But you know, when you have a bad race and, you know, I jump on and I do my podcast, or I do, you know, I'm helping somebody else or giving back to the sport, it gives you more meaning in your life and being involved in the industry. So I would recommend a lot of these kids growing up, and any parents that might be listening to get some insight on the season. That's something I would definitely do, because I, not only does it, you know, help obviously and you know, getting a job after racing and things like that, but I actually think it helps your racing career. Like, we just got Cruz into jiu-jitsu and just trying to just broaden his horizons. I think it's good for the mental psyche to do other things as well.
Yeah. You know, we had a situation where Jeff May, who, you know, just kind of put paid on 25 years of racing, and, you know, he started his career at Road Atlanta and had his last race, although I don't know if it's going to necessarily be his last race, but at least he said that. And along the way of him being a racer and getting involved in factory racing and World Superbike racing, he developed a lot of skills that got him involved in being a mortgage banker. And then he transitioned that into now he's a business development manager for an IT company. So, you know, racing can give back in a lot of different ways that are beyond just being in our paddock too. So, you know, Jeff's in a situation now, he's a little bit older and he's got a son who's really into baseball. So, you know, he's going to kind of take that next step in his career, but he's very thankful for what he got out of racing that helped kind of set him up in a lot of ways for having the skills and the, you know, the ability to do some things outside of just twisting a throttle. So that's a good point.
Yeah. That was, guys like Jeff May and, James Rispoli is a good friend of mine. He's another one. He's a realtor. He's, you know, him and Corey Alexander, they're starting a podcast. Corey Alexander's another one. Johnny Lewis, a flat track guy. He does a lot of different things. So, yeah, absolutely. You nailed it. And I think motorcycle racers, if you can win on the track, you can win at life. You just gotta, you know, put the work in and adapt and use everything you've learned in racing in other aspects of your career. I mean, any racer that's gone on to different things, so many of them have succeeded. It's just scary. It's just scary for a lot of these guys to step away and take that leap. But it's a really cool dynamic, and yeah, it's cool to see guys like Jeff May to have successful careers off the bike. That's definitely inspiring for a lot of, you know, the young riders and stuff.
All right, Corey, we're going to let you go here. And it's been a lot of fun. It was nice seeing you at the races this past weekend. And we both wish you luck at Carolina Motorsports Park on May 5th and 6th. In a way, I guess it's going to be probably easier that we're not there because we won't be able to make fun of you if you mess up. So,
yeah, well, it's not a matter of it or if, it's when. But no, well, it'll be great. I'm excited for this opportunity. And anybody out there listening, the parents or anybody, the teams, riders, if you have any questions on Mini Cup, definitely reach out to me, ctexter@motoamerica.com, and try to navigate this first round and build some momentum for the rest of the season. But yeah, it's going to be cool, and definitely appreciate you both for letting me come on and promote Mini Cup and just being on the podcast. It's an honor. There's been a lot of really, really big names in racing on your guys' show. So I'm happy to be on that list now. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I have confidence that you'll do just fine. So good luck on the on that weekend. And we will see you at Barber May 19th and 20th. And then we can make fun of you. So you'll have one under your belt, though.
Yeah, I was booking my hotels. I'm like, oh, Barber's like 2 weeks after. I've been so focused on the first round, and it's like, oh, Barber's right, you know, right there, and then Road America. So yeah, we'll be done the season before we know it. But yep, thanks again, and we'll see you guys at Barber.
All right, boys, have a good week.
All right, see you guys.